The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, fine. I'm just quite hungover today.
for the first
time in a very long time. It was friend's birthday party yesterday at a friend's house. Luckily, just down the street. But, yeah, had a few too many libations and woke up after noon and... made myself a nice greasy breakfast, it is currently 6 o'clock at night, and I am still drinking coffee, trying to get rid of this thing. So,
okay,
I will get through this, and I'm also getting over a sickness. So, if you can hear it, probably in my voice a little bit, that's why.
Walk it off. So.
Combination of hangover. Yeah.
Yeah.
But oregano oil does help. I will say that.
Yeah, it does.
It's not just snake oil.
No,
it's not snake oil. It's oregano oil.
Fair enough. Well, what we are going to be discussing in tonight's Turnbuckle Talk, when we get to it, trust me, it's going to get the blood pumping. It's going to get you going.
The cringe will go.
Speaking
of your hangover.
Thank you.
There we go. Yeah. It has kind of been more than a day and a night since we had a last episode, because once again, life kind of got in the way.
And I was in Montreal for a week.
Ducky was in Montreal. We're going to hear all about your trip. Share with our listeners.
I'm going on my own holiday trip after this. So,
you leave in a few days.
Yeah, I leave in 4 days for the cabin in Ontario.
Okay. So we better get this in.
Get it in, get it out.
Everyone has a good time. Before we jump into all that, though, I do have a little bit of Wrestling Night in Canada house cleaning here.
Mm-hmm.
Today, as we speak, is my older brother's 57th birthday.
Wow.
Today. So happy birthday to my big brother, Jeb. I can't, obviously, growing up with the guy, and I'm only 4 years younger than him.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw his wife made a Facebook post, and when I saw the numbers 5'7", like, that hits you different than just, he's 57 today.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually see it, it's like, holy shit, when did we become old?
I know.
You know?
It's like...
My little sister, okay, we'll always call her that, she's pushing 52.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, my sister's 40.
Yeah, well, when did 41, they get old?
Yeah. I just turned 38 a few weeks ago. The weirdest thing is like seeing your parents turn an age that you saw your grandparents turn when you were a kid.
Because my
parents are both in their 70s now, and it's just like I remember when Grandma and Grandpa were 70.
That's right.
I was like, oh boy.
So I couldn't think of a better reason to celebrate my brother's birthday. We hit the ballpark to watch our Winnipeg Gold Eyes kick the holy hell out of the Milwaukee Milkmen. 8-0. I don't normally go for blowouts, you know, but...
The Milwaukee Milkmen?
The Milkmen, yeah.
They couldn't have called themselves, like, the Beers or the Brewers or
something. Well, the Milwaukee Brewers is the national.
They are a thing already.
But exactly.
I knew that name somewhere.
Right. But why they're the Milkmen, I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of history to it. But the important thing is they lost today. Yeah, and it was a beautiful day, but it was fucking hot.
It is very humid right now in Winnipeg.
That's why I'm not wearing a black shirt for once.
You're wearing your baby blue bussy.
Yeah.
There we go. My
Ali and Effie shirt.
Yeah, I am wearing a t-shirt and still my pajama pants, and I don't know why, but my air conditioner is on, I think, but whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer in here than it was in the ballpark.
I've already offended someone with the bussy shirt, so I'm happy.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
Okay, would they even know what that is?
Probably
not.
Okay. Yeah, like if it's a wrestling fan, they're not going to be offended by it.
It's like kind of like a trans thing, because a bussy is like a boy vagina.
So. Oh, right.
Yeah, but if it's okay, if the only people that are going to recognize the word bussy are GCW fans. Mm-hmm.
And it was an older lady who was disgusted with the shirt at Dollarama the other day when I went.
I didn't even know what it said when I first saw it. I thought it said bison, like the way it's written.
It's also Barbie font.
Yeah.
And even besides, if it's just some normie, well, who fucking cares?
Yeah, I just laughed when I walked by.
Yeah, like pound sand, grandma. Like,
Busey.
Yeah. Yeah. What grandma needs is more bussy in her life. That's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a series of words I never thought I'd hear come out of your mouth. But here we are.
Whatever you want.
Mark it down. Sunday, July 21st, 2024. Those words came out of the mouth of Snowy White.
Snowy says grandma needs more
pussy. Yes. And I'm sure you've got a story to go with your new bussy swag. So we're kind of going to jump into that right now. You did.
I am just going to say right now before we get into it that I am going to have Grandma Needs More Bussy etched on your tombstone when you pass away.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. We need to get him a shirt.
I'm good.
He needs a shirt.
With that.
He needs a shirt.
I'm good with that.
Yes. He needs a shirt.
And I will have the date written on it underneath. Yeah.
Grandma Needs More Bussy. Snowy 2020.
Here lies Snowy White. Grandma Needs More Bussy.
Nothing else on it. None of this great father, loving husband. None of that crap.
How much does it cost to make beer koozies? Grandma Needs More Bussy.
Well, just so long as Allie and Effie don't come after you for that and sue us.
They would laugh.
They would laugh, I know, but you can never be too careful these days.
You know, when I woke up this morning, I never thought.
I didn't wake up this morning. I went to bed.
You texted me at 1 o'clock.
I went to bed this morning.
So did I.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of jump right into this. Dude, you fucked off to Montreal for a little while.
Yep.
You sounded like.
You had a grand old time.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into the wrestling you attended, was there anything out there you want to share?
Well, I was supposed to go see our friend's band, Cell.
Okay.
But then WestJet fucked over because of the strike.
That little strike that happened.
Yeah.
Like right.
So I flew out Monday night.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then I was going to go see my friends in Hellbent who have stayed with me at the house a few times.
Right.
And then a cab wait time said 5 minutes, hour.
Wow.
We could have walked to trackside and back twice, so we just said fuck it and got drunk and passed out.
Even like both cabs and Ubers were like wait times were that long? Really?
Wow. Yeah.
That's insane.
And then Tuesday, I just walked around with my friend Mia all day and drank. And then Wednesday, same thing. Thursday, same thing.
Mm-hmm. You checked out any like... Well, I guess you know the city pretty well at this point. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I show people around there who live there now who don't know what's there. It's weird.
Do you
Riley, who used to go by Grace? Mm-hmm. She was the vocalist of Feed.
Okay.
And now she's the vocalist of Typeface Grind, and she's an Object of Loathing.
Okay.
And I was like, let's go to Cafe Jardin, and you've been there. I took you there a few years ago. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she's like, I live in Verdun. I don't know this cafe. I'm like, it's down the street. Meet me there. Here's the address. And she's like, this place is cool.
So Montreal is kind of becoming your second home.
And then the day after I took Mia there, and she was like, I've been here. I've lived here almost a year. I don't fucking know this place.
Well,
so you obviously hit up your usual favorite spots.
Yeah. I walked in and the cook was like, you're back. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I know your order. You're good.
Yeah.
Did you hit up anywhere you hadn't been before? Or have you?
Not
pretty,
really.
No, you've pretty much got the lay of the land?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Right on. Well, maybe.
Theater Paradox, it said it was open during the day, like where Mestamorts is.
Okay. It was not.
It was not. I decided I'll take the long way, so I walked the hour and a bit. Well, with my knee, it took an hour and a bit. And then I was like, okay, this is a nice walk. I don't know where the fuck I'm going, so I got lost for a bit. Then pulled the GPS up and like, okay, I know the route now. And got there, it was locked. I'm like, I walked all the way here. Fuck.
Yeah.
So then we went to Japanese Manga Cafe.
Okay.
It was really nice. And then we went to the Studio Ghibli Totoro Cafe, which was cool.
It's the thing about Montreal. Lots of cafes.
Yeah, I was going to say, is everything a cafe?
Yeah,
there's a lot of cafes.
They don't have restaurants. They just have cafes.
That's right.
They do, but a lot of cafes.
Okay.
It was cool.
And then, you got to have that French flair on everything. I guess. Yeah. Café.
Café.
Okay, well, let's get into the meat of the matter here.
And then, of course, well, we had to go see Sean.
Yeah.
Dope Throne.
Dope Throne. Yeah, he unfortunately lost his record shop in a, what was it, a flood or a fire?
Fire.
Oh, damn.
That's too bad. That's fire, too bad. Yeah.
Always a shame when record stores have to close, like, especially independent-owned ones.
I still don't know how I walked to Piranha Bar from his house.
That was a long walk.
I was hammered.
Oh. Well, yeah, that makes
sense.
We
had a garage sale in front of the store during the day. And then I was like, well, I haven't seen you in a few months since we played with you. I bought a six pack. Then he bought a six pack. Then all his buddies who showed up brought six packs.
I brought six packs.
And then we went back
to
his place. And then we got back to his place and we kept drinking. And then he was like, I need to sleep. And I was like, cool. I'm going to walk to Piranha Bar. And then I somehow walked to Piranha Bar.
Wow.
For this local band show. And it was really good. Everyone killed it. It was a good time.
Nice. Excellent, excellent. Hopefully November for the Black Metal
Festival. Yeah. November 28th, 29th, 30th.
Okay, hopefully I'm going to talk to the missus about... She wants to get back out to Montreal. They already made one really cool announcement.
Sorry, guys.
So,
yeah,
so hopefully we'll see what's going on. But right now...
I don't care, I'm going.
All of our listeners, want to hear you talk about all the wrestling saw out there.
So what's going on?
Where was the set?
I went to IWS...
The venue, though, what was it
called? The venue was the El Olympia.
Okay.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Oh. It's in Gay Village, as they call it.
Like, that's the actual name of the area is Gay Village?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, you know where Foofs is, Snowy.
Yes. Yeah.
Walk two blocks the opposite direction.
Oh, okay. So, downtown Montreal.
Yes, downtown Montreal. I was there for IWS versus GCW. So, International Wrestling Syndicate versus Game Changer Wrestling. The main event was supposed to be PCP Manny versus Nick Gage, but Nick Gage couldn't get over the border.
Mm. Oh, surprise, surprise.
But he got in last year.
The bank-addicted drug robber couldn't get over the border. Well, imagine big fucking shocker.
Yeah.
They said he was injured, but it was probably border shit.
It was definitely legal border bullshit. Yeah. Like...
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
Which sucked because I wanted to see Gage,
Nick Gage should probably have a little chat with Jimmy Uso and see he's able to fucking do that nowadays.
And Jacob Fatu.
Yeah. Well, Jacob Fatu almost didn't get over, but...
Well, he's robbed a bank.
Yeah, I know. He's been into jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Gage.
How could you be an Anoa?
An Hawaii?
Yeah. And rob a fucking bank? How?
Well, when you're as big as Jacob Fatu, as big as he used to be.
Okay,
we were all young, dumb.
Not money...
We were all young, dumb, and full of cum, as you like to say. So eloquently put it.
Okay, but I wouldn't be robbing a bank.
He probably had some very shitty, shady friends when he was growing up. So
fair enough.
It's just like any celebrity kid that gets like
they shouldn't be.
His father probably wasn't around a lot, and like probably it caused him to act out when he was a kid.
And Zilla's been to jail too.
Yep.
Because
they all have.
The whole, like, because if you're robbing a bank for money, okay, why would you need money in that family?
Well,
like, your cousin is the Rock. He
you're related
he
to
probably owns the fucking bank.
Yeah.
You know,
like you're related to Rikishi. Like,
yeah,
come on.
You know, you really shouldn't be hurting anything. But, you know, don't be judgmental. I just found that surprising when you said, well, he's been to jail. I'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yep. It happens, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So,
anyways,
it's Canada's IWS versus GCW. Yeah. Excellent.
It was good. All the people I met there were really chill. They're like, why'd you come here from Winnipeg? I'm like, this? Hello? I need to get the fuck out.
It's your jam.
Yeah.
Like, and wrestling fans travel for wrestling cards. That's why WrestleMania
and when the ticket was only $50, I'm like, going. Sure.
I'm still kicking rocks at going to SummerSlam next year since it's right over the border.
I know.
We'll have to see how expensive it is.
Or we go.
It's not
going to
be cheap. I'm not saying how cheap it's going to be. I'm saying how expensive it's going
to
be because I'm going
to
Vegas
for WrestleMania.
Ah.
Because Flair goes direct to Vegas.
Woo!
No, I'm not getting in an airplane with Flair.
Yeah,
I've
heard too many stories.
Last time.
Yeah.
No.
Helicopter.
You want to ride on Space Mountain?
Woo! Okay.
Old is right, long is lie.
I'm really curious about the card.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
The first match was, I knew absolutely none of these people, but that's the good thing about going to a show in a different city.
Of course.
You get to know more wrestlers. It was Leah Sparks, Melanie Havoc, and Nathan Yarimowicz. I'm pronouncing it wrong. I don't care. Sorry. Versus Bray Della Russo, Danny Leo, and Tyler Knox. It was like kind of like an intergender six-person tag.
Oh, okay.
That seems pretty common at these death match shows more than any other type of wrestling. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was intergender stuff.
Lee Sparks, Melanie, and Nathan won. Match two was for the IWS Women's Championship. It was Katrina Creed defending against Chris Starra and Masha Slamovic.
Oh, wow.
With Masha Slamovic winning the IWS Women's Championship. Match three, was a six-person scramble. It was Dante Dubois, Alex Mays, Ben Ortman's, Bob Anger, Sexy Eddie, and Tara Zepp. It had its comedy moments with, well, Sexy Eddie, of course. It was good. Dante Dubois won. Then there was JT Producer and Steven Maines against Broski Jimmy and Charlie Tiger.
His name's JT Producer?
Yep.
It sounds like a template name.
Yep. JT Producer and Steven Maines beat Broski Jimmy and Charlie Tiger. Of course, after Broski coming out and say, "You better respect Matt Cardona," and everyone was chanting "Fuck Cardona," and it was funny as hell.
Nice.
And then, yeah, Jimmy got piledrived on a chair to lose. It's good.
That's simple in a deathmatch show. Yeah. Just a piledriver onto a chair. That's what did them in.
No one got their head chopped off.
Nope.
I would have demanded my money back.
No one got a gash that required 17 stitches.
Okay. It would have been if Gage would have made it.
Of course, yeah.
Match five was for the IWS Heavyweight Championship. Carl Jepsen defending against Gringo Loco. It was cool seeing Gringo Loco finally.
Right.
Carl Jepsen won. Kept the title.
Okay.
Match six was Gabe Kidd versus Benjamin Tull versus James Stone versus Junior Benito. Gabe Kidd won.
Okay.
It was cool he brought the IWGP strong title with him.
Oh, nice.
That was cool seeing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Wow.
I like it when promotions allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Masha had the JCW title with her, too.
Oh, I remember when Moxley was GCW champion, AEW didn't let him bring it in with him. I was just like, what?
They allowed him to bring the AEW title on GCW.
They allowed him, I guess.
Of course, yeah.
But, he wore a GCW sweater when he was GCW champion.
He should have been allowed to bring that on
TV. Yeah, it's like,
that
come on, Tony.
Cool. Yeah.
Like, let's get real here.
Exactly. Match seven was Matthew St. Jacques and Thomas Dubois, which they go by Tabernac the Team.
Oh, nice.
Versus,
I know what that word means.
Tabernac.
Versus Alley Catch and Effie, or Bussy.
Bussy.
Mm-hmm. That was a good back and forth match. Tabernac the Team won, pinning Effie.
Is it Tabernac colon the Team, or is it just Tabernac the Team?
Tabernac the Team.
Okay.
Match eight was for the GCW Heavyweight Championship. It was Mance Warner against the Green Phantom.
Good. The Green Bastard.
The Green Bastard.
From parts unknown.
The Green Phantom, not the blue one.
No,
the green one. Not the purple with pink polka dots.
Not the purple Phantom like Billy Zane was.
That's right. It's the Green Phantom.
Mance Warner won because he was like, well, I can pick the stipulation. General Manager Cardona said I could pick the stipulation. Match has a 10-minute time limit. And Green Phantom, it was like 1-2, then the time ended, and then the three count.
Yeah. Oh, yep.
So it was like, and new blah blah blah, and then no.
Yeah, dusty finish.
Yep, dusty finish.
Yeah.
And then match nine, which was supposed to be Manny versus Gage, ended up being Manny versus Joey Janela. Mm. Which was good.
Not bad.
It could have been better, but
I mean,
you'd think for a show called Scarred for Life, that's why it was supposed to be Gage and Manny.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which would have been very messy, but
I mean, last minute replacement, you kind of got to go with what you got.
Yeah, so. It was a little like tubes were used, but not many. Janela cut Manny open with a corkscrew
Oh, lovely.
They went outside and Joey elbow dropped him off a truck through a couple tables with a cigarette.
He didn't twist it into his eyeball and pull it out.
Nope. Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah. didn't make a
And that was the show.
All right.
And after I went up to the merch line and there was this bigger guy in front of me meeting Tara Zepp, so I hit
someone bigger than you? Impossible. Yeah.
I know, right?
Impossible. Inconceivable.
So I hid behind him a bit, and he moved, and the Tara was like, Dustin, what the fuck? I'm like, hello. What are you doing? Tara Zepp. We had her. She was brought by WPW for a show.
Oh, okay.
And then WPW. Me and my friend Sarah, who came with me, we met her. She's cool. She came to another WPW show.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see her again and talk to her for a bit. And then I showed up in Montreal and she's like, fuck you doing out here? I'm like, this show?
Wrestling.
Yeah. And since you're here, thought I'd come say hi. And then I said hi to Effie and Allie. And then Allie went, Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Oh, good honor.
She went, shit, name again. Fuck. And then Tara went, it's Dustin. And then nice. Allie went, that's right. How are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then Effie went, we went to Cancer Bats. I'm like, that we did. That we did. So that was cool.
That's why, yeah. Well, good honor, good honor. And I see you're sporting bussy swag.
I had to.
Of course.
I needed a bussy shirt.
Yeah, you need bussy in your life.
I need bussy in my life.
And so does grandma.
So does grandma. And then met Mats Warner, and he's cool shit.
Right on.
Said quick hi to Joey, Janella, and Masha Slamovich, and... It was a good night.
Right on. Okay.
I'm just going to interject again. I think we should get some t-shirts made for Allie and Effie with the quote that says, Grandma needs bussy in her life. Quote, Snowy White.
Allie would probably love that.
Yeah.
Next time WPW brings her.
Yeah.
I want to give her that idea. She'll laugh.
So then horns up, horns down, horns in the middle.
Horns
which
up.
What you got?
I'll horns say up. Horns up.
Right on.
It was a good time.
There was blood. There was violence. People laughed. People cried.
It was a good time.
There was a lot of uncomfortable showers with glass afterwards, probably. Right up Dustin's alley.
Yeah.
You know?
Right on.
'Twas fun.
And then upon your return home,
I had another one.
Okay. What exactly did you check out?
It was the second ever Wrestling United show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wrestling United Summer Splash. A couple buddies of mine were on the company, so I got to be ring crew again. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull up the match card here. It was fun. Got to be ring crew. Also, got to sit ringside during the show and collected everyone's entrance gear as they came out.
Well, weren't you a busy bee? Right on.
It was fun. Almost walked into Frankie Kazarian. I'll save that for a bit later in the story.
When he says walked into, he doesn't mean like as a figure of speech.
No, I almost walked in.
Yeah, we'll wait for the story. Then.
Almost walked into Frankie Kazarian.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first Reddit comment is, you know it's fake, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The fact that those people are still around are just like... You think you're going to ruin it for us?
Yeah.
Like
no.
Do you honestly think, like, we didn't know that?
Yeah. Like, what?
I probably knew that before this guy was even born.
Probably.
So, like, geez. Okay, so what happened at Wrestling United?
The first match was the Ice King, Jack Ledger, who actually just got a win over Nick Nemeth.
Oh, really?
At Flashback Wrestling, I believe, and won the title. He fought this guy named Bobby Brennan. Both very good wrestlers. They did a spot. It's going to be uploaded soon, hopefully, if the video worked perfect. So I won't go ahead and ruin it, because there should be video soon. But it was fun. Jack Ledger won. Harlan Abbott fought Taylor the Impaler. Both
okay.
Interesting name, but like it was
Taylor,
a good match.
Taylor
Harlan Abbott was on the first Wrestling United show, and he actually just made his GCW debut recently. So good for him.
Nice. So someone else also made their GCW debut recently.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll talk about that after.
We'll get to that. Good match. Harlan Abbott won with a really nice 450 splash. Then there was the team of Mr. Incredible and Antonio Scorpio versus...
Mr. Incredible, like from the movie?
Yes.
The Incredibles?
No.
Red spandex with the eye on it.
I can't remember where he's from. Versus the Jack Jesus Tommy Lee Curtis and a mystery opponent. Mystery opponent was Billy Blaze.
Oh, okay.
A local who's a veteran here and still wrestling.
Yeah.
Speaking of, later next month, the first ever Blaze Pro Wrestling show.
Okay.
Late August, so I'm going to have to go to that support.
Where's that being held at?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I'll have to message Billy and ask him. The team of Tommy Lee Curtis and Billy Blaze won. Then after that, we had Toxic Tyler James versus Andy Anderson. Good match.
Toxic Tyler James.
Yeah.
Toxic Tyler.
When he says toxic, is that more referring to like toxic waste or like the way he's an asshole? The way that it's used
that
like nowadays.
That he's an asshole.
Maybe, that he's just maybe. A terrible person.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've known him for years from other promotions.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. Toxic people don't know that they're toxic.
That's true enough.
Yeah, Andy Anderson is also a veteran in the local scene. Well, he's from here, but apparently hadn't wrestled here since the late 90s until the last Wrestling United show.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So it's good to see him back.
Yeah, that's cool.
Kat Von Hees versus Relentless Riley, the first ever Wrestling United women's match.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion, match of the night.
Okay.
Very good. It slowed down a bit, and then the last few minutes were nuts.
Yeah.
It was very, very good match.
Okay, that's good.
Kat Von Hees picked up the victory.
Right on.
Good time. Shane Madison... The Mecha Shane Madison.
Wow. Okay. There's a name.
He's out of retirement for a bit. Fought TJ Cannon.
Okay.
Ended in a count out, which TJ Cannon won.
Yeah. That's
but story purposes.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. So there's going to be more to that.
Yeah.
Good.
The main event was Michael Allen Richard Clark. The man, as he says, with the longest name in professional wrestling, fought the king of TNA, Frankie Kazarian.
Ah, Kazarian's in town.
Yeah. So the funny story I had with almost walking into Frankie Kazarian, the Mark, Michael Allen, Richard Clark, did like a flex off. He's a muscular dude.
Okay.
And he was like, no one in this building is as attractive as me, so I won't flex in front of them, but I'll flex in front of myself. So he brought a mirror into the ring.
Okay.
The announcer held it. He flexed for a few minutes. And then Kazarian's theme hit. And then he was handing me the mirror to hand off to someone else. And as I turned, Kazarian was like right behind me. And we had a quick like, oh shit. A quick chuckle and then right back into character. It was just quick.
You almost schmucked Kazarian with the mirror.
Not with the mirror.
Oh, okay.
It was after turning around from passing off the mirror.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was just a quick turn, and there was Frankie, and it was a quick...
So you came within inches of potentially running the guy down and ruining his aura.
Sorry, everyone. No main event.
It was funny. We both had it. It was just a quick...
Oh, that's good.
And then
back into
character he went, and it was a good time. And of course, Frankie Kazarian pulled up the victory.
Okay.
And then he put over Michael Allen Clark, and then he put over Wrestling United, and he wants to come back.
Okay.
And it was a good show. And horns up, of course.
Okay,
that's cool.
Excellent.
And then that whole crew is fantastic. And I can't wait to work the next one, which is October 10th.
October 10th. Okay. Yeah. Well, nice. I'll have to. See what we can do, what our schedule
Tickets
is.
Tickets go until next week.
Speaking of pro wrestling on the local level, shall we say, and it just kind of reminded me, because I don't have anything written down, you talking about, you know, Wrestling United reminded me, airing a few dates at our local art house theater, the Cinematheque. You guys would be familiar with what the Death Tour is.
The Death Tour.
Yeah.
Yes, that's Tony Candelo, the local promoter and wrestler, would take a crew and tour up north. Okay, Chris Jericho has talked about this. Christian has talked about this. Rhino. Edge has talked about the Death Tour because it was fucking deadly, because they would, in order to save time, they would cross lakes that were, they were hoping were frozen, you know, like, and apparently, you know, a documentary about the whole thing has been shot and it's airing a couple times throughout August at the David Barber Cinematheque here in Winnipeg.
Okay.
So this is probably something that we should think about, guys, and maybe going and checking out. Besides, every Tuesday is the Cult Night, and Return of the Living Dead is airing every Tuesday. I might go more than once.
Yeah. Okay. I'm always down to watch that movie.
Yeah, So, check local listeners. Check on Facebook the David Barber Cinematheque.
Check your local listings.
Yeah.
Check your local listings.
Check your local listings and all that. Excellent, excellent. Well, so glad you had a good time.
And I'm also checking out WPW this Friday night at Blue Note Park.
Mm-hmm.
All right, all right. Yep,
the Blue Note, eh? Mm-hmm. So they're just setting up the ring, like, on the, obviously not on the outside stage.
Yeah.
So it's going to be outdoors.
Sold out.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So.
All right.
Some little Main Street mayhem.
And one thing Tara Zapp asked me in Montreal, she's like, you going to WPW in 2 weeks? I'm like, yeah, I'll see you there. She's like, yeah, I'll hang out again. I'm like, down.
Excellent.
Be a good time. And Jody Threat again. And
right on.
Sick.
Right on. Yeah, that was another thing. This past, yesterday, actually, was TNA's Slammiversary pay-per-view, which I didn't get to it. I didn't order it. We had some other things going on last night.
That's
so
fair.
If, I don't know, there might be at some point in the next couple of days, you know, I got a spare couple hours. I might check it out.
Got a spare 50 bucks.
See, well, yeah.
We didn't believe enough in Joe Hendry, apparently.
No, we didn't.
No.
Apparently.
Josh Alexander turned heel.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Basically, pretty much what happened in the main event. I'll just, whatever. I've seen the highlights anyway.
Oh, okay.
Joe Hendry pinned Moose.
I kind of was predicting that.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander and Joe Hendry had like a friendly face off, and then he kicked Hendry in the nuts, and C4 spiked the shit out of him.
Oh, okay. So they're building up Hendry versus Alexander.
And then Alexander got eliminated, and then Nemeth pinned Kazarian.
So Nick Nemeth is the new TNA world champion.
Yep.
That's cool. Okay. Still would have been cool to see Joe Hendry bring the belt onto NXT.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty neat. He seems to be a regular on NXT now. So. Yeah.
And our good friend Matt Perlman, that son of a bitch, is at the TNA tapings right now in Montreal at the Verdun Auditorium.
Yeah, you said like row six.
Row six on the floor, $17.
My God.
Wow.
Like, that's unheard of nowadays. Like,
we went to the movies last night and it was 20 fucking bucks to see Twisters, because it was the Screen X where are you familiar with this? What
sort of
what the Screen X is? Okay, it's a fancy new thing to charge more money.
Oh, of course.
To the movies, but you have the screen, okay, but the screen also encompasses both sides
of
the wall as well. So you're looking.
So it's like surrounds you essentially.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. And. You know, Mrs. Snowy, big fan of the original Twister movie.
Yep.
So she wanted to go see this. And, well.
Popcorn movie.
It was a good date night / popcorn movie. But at the end of the day, spoiler alert, okay, they basically remade the original with, okay, at this part.
It's the same two actors.
No, it's not.
No, I thought it was the same.
No, it's a different cast altogether, I think.
But. The lead female is basically Bill Paxton's character, but a young female.
Mm-hmm.
And they took various different sequences from the original and said, okay, for this part, we'll tweak it like this. For this part, we'll tweak it like this. You know, we'll do this here. We'll do this here. And for all intents and purposes, it was a Twister remake with its own little twist.
With an S on the end.
Yeah.
I still want to see it.
I would recommend it. Even go see it in the theater if you just want to see a big, dumb movie.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not seeing anything original.
Okay.
You know, you're basically going into a Twister remake.
Well, they were playing previews for it and, like, some behind-the-scenes stuff on Raw last week. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like, seems all right, I suppose. Like,
I mean, we both have the first.
So that's how we're tying this into a wrestling conversation.
Yeah.
Speaking of twists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on the Shining Wizards Network. On Mondays, it's the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the Year of Duke and Roe, covering a year's worth of classic wrestling, and the Tots Paw, introducing the world to wrestling action figure collecting. Also on Mondays, it's 30 Screams or Less, a weekly review of horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Rounding out Mondays, it's the Shining Wizards, covering everything in the world of pro wrestling. On Wednesdays, it's the Mark Order Podcast, keeping you up to date on everything AEW. On Fridays, it's Horns Up, as Radioactive Metal brings you everything in the world of heavy metal music. And on Saturdays, it's the ROH Revelry, covering everything in the history of Ring of Honor. The Shining Wizards Network is also the home to other great shows, like Bread Club, bringing you the latest from New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Brocast, your watch-along from Down Under, featuring the greatest wrestling matches in history. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, paying homage to the greatest shows in the history of pro wrestling. Wrestling Night in Canada, a focus on wrestling with a North of the Border spin. Going Underground, taking you back to everything in the history of Lucha Underground. An Inconclusive Breakdown, keeping you up to date on everything happening in the world. Enjoy all of the amazing shows on the Shining Wizards Network, available wherever you listen to podcasts and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll turn this back into some wrestling here. And then, to be honest...
So what do you think about Hologram?
Not much.
With everything that's been going on, like with my personal life and all that, I haven't been really paying attention to the current product very much, so I'm a little out of the loop. What's going on?
Well, SummerSlam is right around the corner.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be away for that. But yeah, the World Heavyweight Title match between Gunther and Damian Priest looks like it's gonna shaping up to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a WWE Championship match between Cody Rhodes and Solo Sikoa, which is like a few months ago, I never thought I'd ever say that. But yeah, before
which
WrestleMania,
is definitely a
it's
course for Roman.
Roman's right? Coming back for sure. Mm-hmm. But and then
that pop's gonna be huge.
Oh, in Cleveland Brown Stadium.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah, it's gonna be massive. But yeah, Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley, who came back recently. They're gonna have a match for the Women's World Title.
I wonder if Dom will be special guest referee.
If this isn't a custody for Dominic ladder match again,
Jesus Christ! I was just about to say, don't tell me
no.
It's gonna be like Dom on a pole match or something.
Want it to be though.
No. I know. If it's not the SummerSlam match, have it be the next pay per view match.
Well, it has to be at SummerSlam because that's when the Ray and Eddie one was.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I was actually kind of excited. You know, we're talking about what's going on with the WWF, and, you know, it seemed like it was really good. And then the fucking soap opera starts, and now Liv Morgan is making kissy faces with Dom to piss off the other girl.
The way it's written, though, is it's kind of funny. The segments have been pretty funny, I gotta say. Yeah. Like, involving there's one that, on the night that Rhea Ripley came back, there was this one segment where they're in the back, and she's helping him stretch, but it looked like something a little more suggestive. And then the Judgment Day guy, or Damian Priest walks in, just kind of smiles and, like, waves over at the other guys, and then JD and Finn just poke their heads around the corner like this. It just looked absolutely hilarious.
And then Dom was like, this isn't what it looks like, and Carlito
was like, well, that's cool.
He just kind of went, he looked at him and went, looks hard to me.
Because, well, like, it looked like she was fucking, I don't know if I can say this on here, but it looked like she was railing.
We are on the internet.
Okay.
Okay. Be careful. You don't want to get kicked off the internet.
Okay. But like, they definitely like made it look like she was fucking railing him with a strap on.
Yeah.
Like that's definitely,
oh,
the,
shit.
That was definitely the intention of like helping him stretch. Like that was what they tried to make it look like.
All right.
So yeah.
Are you sure Vince is gone?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Last I heard.
Are you sure? like there would, but there might be clues.
And Carlito now in the Judgment Day is great.
Yeah, like I thought it was kind of funny while like Rhea Ripley was just like, "Why is Carlito here?
Why is Carlito in our locker room?
Yeah, why is he in our their clubhouse as they call it?
Why is Carlito in our clubhouse?
Yeah,
why is Carlito back in wrestling?
Yeah, well they. I'm hoping at some point Rhea Ripley just like takes his PS5 that he brought into the Judgment Day clubhouse and just throws it up against the wall. Just tells him to get out. He's like, that's not cool.
That'd be funny. That's not cool.
But yeah, there's also Nia Jax, Queen of the Ring, taking on Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship.
Bayley calling her big and clumsy on Friday was.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But but then there's
and reckless.
Nia Jax's acquaintance Tiffany Stratton, aka Miss Money in the Bank. She's also going to be waiting in the wings, too, no doubt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what else is there? I don't think there's any tag team title matches set up thus far, and
I don't think so.
It hasn't been confirmed yet, but it's more than likely going to be CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. So
why has he been cleared?
Not officially, but neither is Rhea Ripley. So let's
card subject to change.
Of course, yeah. You always got to remember that.
Yeah,
card
subject to
change.
Attack him in the backstage on his way to the ring.
Right? I'm sure that like if he isn't, they kind of have this thing with Seth Rollins set up on the side. So it'll probably, if it's not CM Punk, it'll be Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. So
okay.
Yep. And so far, that's all I can retain from memory because I don't really want to look it up.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I really don't know much what's going on.
Oh, there's an Intercontinental title match, too, and I'm sure Braun Breaker's going to win this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Braun
and Sammy. Oh, and there's a U.S. title match between Logan Paul and L.A. Knight.
Yeah. Which L.A. Knight better win because I'm fucking tired of
this
bullshit U.S. title reign.
So there needs to be... I hope they're both tag titles are on the line because it's like... What's the point of having a pay-per-view if all your championships aren't on the line?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the point of bringing in these brand new beautiful belts if you're not going to have them on pay-per-view?
Have them on, on your big shows.
Yeah.
And now there's rumors of a women's U.S. and women's Intercontinental.
Jesus Christ.
Well, since they brought in the women's North American title in NXT, I can totally see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but is it needed? No.
No.
But,
no, not at all.
Oh, I guess there's also a women's tag team title match, too. I forgot about that as well.
Is there?
Yeah, Isla Dawn and Alba Fyre defending against...
Oh, Jade.
Not Jade. The MMA fighters.
Oh.
Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler, yeah. My God. Okay, so as you can clearly see, I'm not 100% tuned in either.
I understand why.
Yeah, well, there's so much wrestling nowadays, I have to kind of dial it back a little bit, you know? I haven't been watching AEW week to week recently. Although,
Thing I remember from AEW this week is that 59 minutes and 58 second match with MJF and Will Ospreay.
That's all that anybody else remembers, too. Yeah. Because they took up the first hour of the show, or the first half of the show.
Apparently, Raw had 40 minutes of wrestling this week.
Yeah.
In that first AEW
match. And the first half, one AEW match had, more 20 minutes more wrestling than I did.
So,
with MJF winning the International Continental.
The Intercontinental
Championship.
Right. Yeah, it's weird that MJF went from longest reigning world champion back to there. I don't even know that's their secondary title. Isn't that like a lower mid tier title?
They have about five secondary titles.
Yeah, I thought. I don't know. Like the TNT Championship was that for a while, and now it's kind of. I don't know anymore.
People are mad at Stephanie. I can't remember how to pronounce her name.
Stephanie Vacker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she signed
She signed with WWE.
Yeah. People are pissed at her.
Well, I mean, she did have some commitment dates where she was supposed to drop the CMLL championship that she was holding.
Yeah.
And then she just had to vacate it. So I can understand there's the promoters being annoyed with her about it. But at the same time, her decision.
Yep.
So
and Tony is furious too.
Should have had her locked down to a contract if you're going to make her a fucking champion.
Exactly.
Just a thought. Yeah,
like not that hard.
Yeah. Call me crazy. Yeah. Call me crazy.
Not that hard.
Yeah. If you're going to make someone your champion, you might want to make sure they're not going to jump to another promotion.
Mm-hmm. And Willow Nightingale won the CMLL Women's Championship.
Yeah, the very same one that Stephanie Vacker just yep.
just dropped.
Yep. Vacated gave up essentially.
Yep. And then she already debuted for the company in Mexico.
Yeah, and their tour of Mexico. Yeah, she debuted
defeating Isla Dawn.
Did you hear the tickets for those shows were only 88 cents in Mexico?
What?
The WWE shows?
Holy shit.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Okay, is that some sort of what's the Mexican peso?
I don't
know.
Are
you sure it's not 88 pesos and then when you do the...
I don't know. I just heard this on Cultaholic. So, like, I didn't actually look into it. And I was just like, really? Interesting. Because, like, because you go to a house show here and it's, like, $60.
Or
$40. Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah.
If you still want floor, it's, like, $200-$300.
Yeah. And, like, AEW shows are, like, $75. Like, yeah.
That's still not bad.
For the 100s, could be better. Like,
it could be.
I only went because I found those random tickets for $40.
Yeah.
So.
But also, you're getting so much fucking wrestling.
Yeah.
At AEW shows.
Oh, because you got Rampage and Ring of Honor. Yeah.
Ring of Honor, then Dynamite, then Rampage.
Yep.
Yeah. But do you need 8 hours of AEW, though?
No, I cannot sit. I couldn't sit. Last time
you left after Rampage.
I left. Yeah, I left after Kenny Omega got the fuck out of there. I was just like,
after Omega got beat up. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, this is all I need to see, and then I peaced out. But
what's happening on Rampage? And like, Roddy's wrestling, and you're like, well, shit.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah, and seeing that, what was that Manitoba death match between Willow Nightingale and Sky Blue?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen that, but whatever.
The Manitoba Massacre match.
No, that was it, yeah.
Wow.
That's such an AEW name, it's not even fucking funny.
Yeah.
I love how I found today, it was like, Triple H, Tony Khan, can I use a name that sounds like Survivor Series?
No, it's like he's like, I need a name for my series of shows. Can I copy your homework? Sure, but just don't make it obvious. And it's called the AEW Summer Series. Oh, I'm just like, really?
Yeah. Really, Tony? Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Apparently, as well, within the WWE ranks, some of their roster is depleting. Mm-hmm. Shall we say? I was kind of surprised to see that Bobby Lashley is apparently gone.
He's no longer listed on the internal roster, apparently. So, and his contract is coming up soon.
Him, Tamina, MVP.
Yeah.
Huh. But also remember a few weeks ago, MVP brought up things that Hunter is a racist and won't push the black guys.
Well, is that true? No. Like
that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And now MVP's gone. Bobby's gone.
Well, what? It's like specifically black guys. I don't know. Like the world heavyweight champion right now is Puerto Rican. Yeah. Like taking on a white guy, but I don't know. So I wouldn't say it's like intentional. I don't think he's like intentionally avoiding black people. Like the women's tag team champions were two black women not too long ago. Like Bailey's, Mexican.
It's the unfortunate we don't have anything for you right now.
Yeah.
Situation.
Is what it is.
Right. Any word on future endeavors for these three?
Nope.
No, but I don't know. Seems like they're just going to fizzle out, I suppose. Because MVP was managing Omos, and Omos is just, since Vince McMahon was ejected from the company, as too was Omos's presence on TV. So,
okay, you think MVP maybe has a career elsewhere managing?
I could see him coming back to TNA maybe. But at this point, if you're in TNA, you're basically still in WWE as well. So, with their working relationship, but I don't know. Hard to say. But one former WWE superstar did make his debut for GCW the other night.
Yep.
It was Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal.
His 90-day non-compete was up.
Raj Dejesh.
Yeah, he tweeted out, hindered no more.
Motherfucker attacked Effie, though.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, came through the crowd in a mask and took it off, and it's like, holy shit, it's Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's going by the Maharaja.
Yeah.
Yeah, simply the Maharaja.
Yeah. So. And August 2nd at the next GCW show, it is Effie versus the Maharaja.
Hmm. Well, okay. I mean, former WWE champion, the Maharaja, yep, taking on Effie. So
yep,
remember that weird point in time?
Yeah. But also, at the same time, we had a Canadian as champion. So
true. He what? Yeah, he is.
Oh,
from
that's right. He's, yeah, he's the Great Gum's nephew.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So he's, yeah, he was born in Calgary, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's been doing a lot of interviews with Chris Van Vliet lately, spilling about how he wasn't, he didn't really see eye to eye with Vincel on a lot of things.
Yep. Or the racist promo with Nakamura.
With Shinsuke Nakamura, yeah, saying that he didn't want to say what was on the script. And he's like, oh, is there anything else I can say? It's like, no, this came from Vince. He wants you to say it. And he tried to talk to Vince about it, and he's just like, oh, no, it'll be fine. It's not you. It's a character you're playing on TV. So it's like, but immediately after the promo happened, they were getting bad PR about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, Vince wants you to tweet this out. And they made him type out this big, long tweet about apologizing for it, and then right before he hits send, they're just like, oh, never mind, cancel it. Vince doesn't want you to do that anymore. It's like, oh, okay.
Or are people saying recently that the Gunther Damian Priest promo from Raw the other week was reminiscent of Triple H and Booker T? The "you people don't deserve to be champion."
Oh, geez. Wow.
Thing.
I don't know. Like, well,
because Gunther did say "you people."
Well, Gunther's character is all about being like a superior athlete.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And he's got like that old school character.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, there's a fine line, but like, I don't know. Like, when you're a wrestler, there's a fine line between like character work and real life.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And you kind of got to be careful.
Yeah.
So before we get into this episode's turnbuckle talk, is there anything you might want to, last second, might want to throw out there to the listeners, or do we just keep?
Not currently. Not anything that has to do with professional wrestling anyway. So, like I said, I've been toning back on my weekly intake. So,
oh, okay. Fair enough. Oh, there's a lot of shit going on in the world that I would love to just get on a soapbox and just go off on, but you know what? I think
if it's political, I think we should just kind
of gonna jump right into this episode's a turnbuckle talk. And
speaking of cringy things,
yeah. Speaking of cringy things,
yeah.
And I can't remember exactly what inspired the idea for this discussion, but I know like the Attitude Era,
mm-hmm,
and Vince Russo and all that. Like they got a lot of flack for just some of the like the cringy, the ribald, the words are hard sometimes when you think about some of the shit. Okay, that pro wrestling has thrown out there
in terms
of angles and storylines, and the WWF's Attitude Era and Vince McMahon, okay,
mm-hmm,
takes a lot of that brunt.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, you can't attribute it all.
No, Vince McMahon isn't the only bad wrestling promoter that's come up with cringy
shit. Or that have done some, you know, some
some
shit,
just like,
you know,
some eyebrow raising,
yeah,
fucking some stuff that you see on TV and just makes you go,
did they think this through?
And as much as I like to champion the old territory days,
mm-hmm,
there has been some shit that has made me, even as a as a dumb teenager, made me go, holy shit.
Like, yeah, fuck?
Right. Like, I can't believe, like, this is actually a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so with that in mind, I kind of thought, well, maybe we can get some of these out of our system and maybe share them with our listeners. So when you think of a non-Vince cringe.
Non-Vince McMahon cringe.
Yeah.
We just want to make that clear.
Yeah, non.
Because there's another Vince in pro wrestling that has made some cringe. We got to talk about him.
Yeah, bro.
So non-Vinnie Mac cringe.
Yeah.
what kind of comes to mind?
First one that comes to mind for me is in WCW, the finger poke of doom between Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash for the World Championship. Which caused not only did that cause a dramatic shift in the quality of the WCW product as a whole, that was essentially, for me, that was when WCW, or for me and a lot of people, that was when WCW essentially jumped the shark. Mm-hmm. It was just like, well, that was the beginning of the end right there.
A lot of people
to flip over to Raw to watch Mick Foley win the WWF Championship from The Rock for the very first time. Oh, God.
And apparently it did for the wrong company.
Yeah. Everyone switched over from a live television to pre-taped television at the time because they wanted to see that more. And my God, did they ever make the right choice? Because that finger poke of doom, not only did that cause people to tune out, but it also that also was kind of like the beginning of the death of kayfabe, in my opinion, because that made a huge underline when it came to backstage politics coming to life on the screen
and putting it out there in the middle of the ring. And me being the old timer, I to this day, I still totally, with the internet and all the backstage bullshit and all that, I still believe in kayfabe.
Yeah. And it made the NWO not cool anymore.
Right.
Like, there was the whole, like, the NWO was fucking cool in the mid-90s. Let's be real here. That was some fucking cool shit.
It became
overly bloated, and then they had the Civil War, and then they had the Wolf Pack. Then it kind of became all about wrestling. And then it turned out that the whole thing was a gigantic swerve for who? I don't know.
It was a swerve, bro.
Goldberg, I guess. But, yeah, Nash turns heel. Hall turns heel. They all join back. And then the NWO Black and Red and the NWO Hollywood and the NWO Wolfpack joined back together as the NWO Hollywood Wolfpack Elite. And I'm just like, half the logo was white, half the logo was red. Like some of the OG NWO members are now wearing red, and while the B team still wears the white. And it's like, what even is going on
What's going on right now?
Yeah. Like, would have liked to have understood it more back in 1999 when I was a teenager, but I didn't. And I was just like, I don't understand what is happening right now. Like, it made me just raise an eyebrow. And from there, WCW just got worse and worse and worse. And, And that was 23 years ago. And then it died.
It's really hard to believe just how long ago all of this shit was.
Well, not only that, WCW died 23 years ago, and TNA started 22 years ago. Think about that.
I believe that TNA/Impact/TNA again.
Yeah,
has been around that long.
I know.
It just doesn't.
You know, for a company that everyone thought was going to die. So many times. Yeah.
Uh huh. And it's.
But we got some TNA shit to talk about too. But I will pass this one along to you. Yeah. What do you got?
I don't remember much of this, but the Billy Kidman Shane Douglas feud over Tori Wilson,
was a part of the death of WCW. Yeah. So,
which culminated in a Viagra on a pole match.
I have that on my list.
The Viagra on a pole.
As a matter of fact, I was actually as Mrs. Snoy was driving me here to your beautiful studio.
Mm-hmm.
We were I was just giving her, what we're going to be talking about and all that, and we just in casual conversation, we both remembered this fucking angle. And I said to her, okay, there, you have to give Shane Douglas credit for this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because what youngish guy, healthy, okay.
Yep.
Is going to go along with needing Viagra to screw Tori Wilson.
Tori Wilson, like, of all
things. The Playboy model.
Yeah.
Okay, and...
Well, not at the time, but like... Yeah, but yeah,
she the was,
the future Playboy model at the
and
time.
To see some of those vignettes. Okay, and this is what... This is another thing that really, really killed kayfabe and all that. Because why would a couple have a camera in their bedroom... talking about the fact that he can't get it up in order to do Tori Wilson.
Yeah.
Like, that is, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Like, hats off to Douglas for putting the ego aside. I couldn't do it.
Well, you know, like, he was contractually obligated to do it, like,
but he
I guess he figured if I have to do this, I may as well put my everything into it.
and then it culminates with a Viagra on a pole match
against Billy Kidman, who is Tori Wilson's real life husband at the time.
That's right.
Like,
that was just wow. No, that was an absolute head shaker.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember that too on TV. I was just like, "What the fuck is happening here?"
Yeah, gotta give Douglas credit.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, okay. Well, one of the things I did have on my list, but I don't know exactly how cringe it is because, okay, I don't know. But Beulah McGillicuddy's pregnancy in AEW where.
You mean ECW?
In ECW.
Yeah, I was like, what?
In the real ECW before.
Not the WWE ECW.
Yeah, you know, because I'm sorry.
Zombie.
That shit doesn't even exist to me.
That whole thing in and of itself is cringe, but it's a Vince thing, so we can't count.
Yeah, we're not really counting it. And it's just the whole thing where, like, she says she's pregnant.
But she's not showing.
And she's not showing anything, which is fine.
Yeah.
Okay, and Raven is like giving her shit, you know, in the ring on TV. What's so hard? One pill a day. Mm. You know what's the problem here? And then she gets mad and she says it's not even yours. And he immediately goes and schmucks Stevie Richards, you know, who's his lackey and all that. Mm-hmm. He immediately blamed it on him. No, it's not him. It's Tommy's, and of course Tommy Rich and Raven were camp buddies years ago when they were kids at the same. Too bad it wasn't sleepaway camp.
Yeah,
you know. because
he was beating the shit out of Stevie Richards, and then she yelled, "It's Tommy's!
It's Tommy's!" And I'm like, "Okay, what? Okay, I thought ECW because we had just started getting." ECW TV up here.
Yeah, on TNN, I believe.
And,
at 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was watching it Friday night.
Yeah, it was on Friday nights.
Yeah. I remember rushing home as fast as I could, you know, after work in order to catch it. But thinking, okay, like, this is WWF soap opera shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it was around that time, you know, that soap opera shit was a wrestling thing.
Yep.
And unfortunately, with the Dom on the Pole match, which I'm sure is coming.
I guess
soap opera is still a thing. Now, I understand, okay, it's soap opera for men. Okay, but this is soap opera bullshit that should be on Days of Our Fucking Lives. Okay. Okay. Both the Dom on the Pole and the Viagra on the Pole and the Beulah's pregnancy and all that. This isn't. Soap opera for men. This is
soap opera in general.
Yeah. So fortunately, though, I didn't lose faith in ECW. I just kind of, okay, we'll take...
Well, a year later, I think a year after that, it was done for. So, like, but...
Yeah. And it was... What we got on TV for that time was amazing. The Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn matches.
Oh, for the TV title? Yeah.
Incredible. Lance Storm was absolutely fantastic.
Before he made his jump to WCW.
The Mike Awesome Tanaka matches.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And Tanaka's still going too.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I think one of the best Mike Awesome Tanaka matches I ever saw was on the WWE ECW One Night Stand in 2005.
Which is Mike Awesome's last match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
a month later he was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Beulah, Viagra. What else you guys got?
Well, switching over to TNA, do you remember the Claire Lynch storyline involving AJ Styles?
Yeah.
I want to say but I would be lying.
It was like, it was TNA's version of the Katie Vick storyline, or the closest thing to it. It was this There was a tag team that AJ Styles was feuding with. Yeah, Bad Influence. That's, yeah. Who you
had. Oh, yeah. That was, I can't remember them now. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Wasn't that Frankie Kazarian and Daniels?
I think so. Or I know Christopher Daniels was involved in the feud. But
okay.
Yeah, they revealed that he was having, like, AJ Styles was having an affair with Dixie Carter. Yes. That's okay. Which obviously was a hoax. Bad Influence later went to reveal that AJ was the illegitimate father of a baby with a woman called Claire Lynch, who was portrayed as a drug addict. AJ Styles had no memory of sleeping with her, but there was photos taken of the two in bed, making it seem like she took advantage of him while he was inebriated. And yeah, that's what brought on this whole angle that, yeah, he had slept with her and he was the illegitimate father of her baby. And yeah. And, like, it went against completely who AJ Styles is as a person, as we
I
all
was
know.
Just about yeah, to say, like, he's all Charlie Church. Like,
exactly.
Why would AJ Styles,
like, he's happily married then? He's a happily married, devout family man.
Yeah,
and
a Republican.
Yep.
And a flat earther. And okay, I'm not going to go any further. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. But,
but a great wrestler.
Yeah, but like bringing this woman on here and depicting her as like this mentally ill drug addict, because at some point she brought the child on the air with her, but it ended up being like a rubber baby doll. And yeah, and to cap it all off, the whole storyline ended with a car crash. That was it. Yeah, okay. So I guess Claire Lynch is dead. In quotations, I'm going to say that.
All right.
So that was probably one of the worst, if not the cringiest TNA angle I've ever witnessed.
I don't even remember
that. That did not involve Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this was after the Hulk Hogan era, when Dixie Carter was like doing the Vince Russo thing and trying to mad scramble and like,
okay.
Yeah. And I feel like this might have been one of the, I think this storyline was the catalyst for AJ Styles eventually leaving and going to Japan before he joined WWE.
Eventually, there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't remember this. Maybe I'm blocking it out because it's just,
it was that
probably
bad,
for the best.
Yeah. yeah. Because it's just, yeah, I like to rag on AJ Styles, but like the last 20 years, 30 years, he's been top five.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best wrestlers on the planet.
Oh, for sure.
And mucho respecto. I know that's not real, but
no. You know, you and your fake Spanish.
Mucho
you and your Spanglish.
Just add an O at the end.
Mucho respecto. Comprendo.
Expecto Patron.
Like I said, though, there is some stuff during the territory days that are going to make you guys go, wow.
Okay.
I
got another one before.
I'm going to start off with this one.
Or not.
It was okay, well, sorry. Well,
we're going in a circle here. Don't break the cipher.
It was in the Continental territory. I want to say the 87.
Okay.
Wendell Cooley was the top baby face.
Okay.
The Dirty White Boy was the top heel. And the Dirty White Girl was his valet. I think his real-life wife as well. Okay. And they were that was the top feud, the top angle at the time. Cooley on TV is cutting a regular promo, you know, talk him into the building.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty White Girl comes out, and she's got a blackened eye.
Oh.
Okay, and she comes up to him, you know, Wendell, like, you know, you have to help me. He hit me.
Mm.
He hit me, okay. And, of course, being the face, he's the chivalrous guy, he goes to help her. Sneak attack, Dirty White Boy attacks him, and then she wipes the makeup off her eye.
Wow, WWE tried to redo
a
thing like that down the line with involving Chaz from the Headbangers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he had his valet. I forget her name, but she had this whole angle too. And then it was revealed through backstage cameras that actually was Headbanger Thrasher made his return and made the big reveal. That's how the Headbangers got back together. But yeah, she was putting like she was on the phone with someone and putting like makeup on, and you could see her like brushing it on. And the referee like turns to her and like wipes it off himself. And it's just like, well, he's like, what are you doing? And then she was written off TV. The Headbangers got back together. It all was right with the world. Chaz was an innocent man.
Oh, okay. But, well, then that's, you just learned tonight.
Yeah.
You were right now years old when you learned where WWF got that angle from.
Oh, yeah. WWF has bit angles off of other things, companies so often. Like, Vince McMahon would never admit it because,
because
it was all my creation.
This is stuff that was buried in the territories, you know, in smaller, like, it's not like Continental was a national territory, you know, like Crockett.
No.
And even Georgia Championship Wrestling had national TV on TBS as well when that was just starting to be a thing. So, yeah, I could see Vince taking shit from Stampede or from Continental.
Well, actually, I wouldn't assume that Vince would dig around looking for this stuff. One of his writers probably found it and said, like, oh, yeah, we can let's do something like this. Let's bring this to Vince. He'll love it. Then they probably showed it to him, and Vince was like, oh, that's such good shit.
Let's do that. Yeah. So, yeah, even as a teenager, just think, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're using domestic violence like this at all. In an angle, so that was absolutely brutal. Oh,
the amount of times that any wrestling company has used domestic violence or a history of drug abuse in a storyline, I'm just like, really? You had to go there?
Mm-hmm. Especially if it was real.
No, yeah, like, well, WCW and WWF have done that so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I guess ECW did that, but what do you got for us?
What do you got?
When Raven crucified the Sandman?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, okay, again, WWF didn't Undertaker.
He did that to Stephanie.
Crucify Stephanie, yeah.
But that's the show that Kurt Angle got invited to.
Oh, yeah.
And made him not want to join ECW.
He's a good old Christian boy, too. Yeah, so, he's kind of all-American Christian boy.
Yeah, and he saw this and said, this isn't wrestling. There's no fucking way I'm working this. And then he goes and signs a big deal with Vince. Did he walk off when The Undertaker did it?
Well, I think he joined after The Undertaker did that, but still. But nevertheless,
you're still going into a federation that crucifies women, Mr. Applepie.
Yeah, like,
okay, I guess morality kind of changes.
And then at the end of the
as the zeros,
yeah, when the zeros start to appear,
yeah,
yeah.
And then at the end of the show, Raven had to come out and apologize.
Oh, of course.
Or the next show.
Like, he had to personally apologize, saying, I'm sorry, this is all just an act. You know, it's not real.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that kind of takes the mystique out of it.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Because Paul Heyman made him apologize because Kurt Angle was in the building?
Okay, well.
Yeah, but if Angle wasn't going to sign on because of it.
Like, obviously, the crowd there was, like, into it.
Like, if Angle is like, oh, fuck, I'm out of here. Okay, kick rocks, buddy, and then you do your own thing.
Like, weren't the fans, like, throwing shit in the ring because they were getting, like, riled up about it? But that's kind of what you want. It served its purpose.
Yeah, like, some fans there were probably pissed.
But. Was that the same storyline that involved the Sandman's son
coming
on with Raven? Yeah, because he, like, manipulated his son or something?
Yeah, and he was Lori Fullington.
Yeah.
Because that's Sandman's real last name.
Yeah.
Is Fullington. Yeah, that's when they were blurring the lines there, which I'm not a fan of that.
No.
I'm sorry. Everyone that has ever said to me, you know it's fake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's fake, and I like it when it's fake.
Well, they kind of did that same thing with The Undertaker in WWF when he was crucifying people in the Ministry of Darkness days. People, like, on screen were just being like, no, Mark, you're taking this too far.
Well, the Undertaker's podcast recently, he talked about the whole Ministry of Darkness thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I want to take it darker than the Undertaker character and make people uncomfortable.
Really? I'm surprised, being a god boy himself, that he would have been willing to go. And, well, I guess at the time he wasn't.
Now, that seems to be the thing. The older these people get,
They become more conservative.
They become more conservative and find Jesus. And
Well, apparently Michelle McCool was the reason why Undertaker got back into religion. At least that's what he said on his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, but, see? Cliff Clavin, a very wise man, once said, three words, Dames is trouble.
Dames is trouble.
Dames is trouble. Yeah, don't just take that with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't be living your life by what Cliff Clavin said. is. What about you, man? What do you?
Well, let's see. I did have a couple more lined up. Oh yeah, still sticking with TNA.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, okay. During the Hogan era, do you remember when he gave Abyss his WWF Hall of Fame ring?
Yep.
And it gave Abyss superpowers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of the ring. Yeah.
Like, this is my WWF Hall of Fame ring, brother. When you put it on, you'll become just like I was.
Okay.
It's like, so not only is like... So it's like this.
Yeah, no, I don't remember this.
This piece of memorabilia
ring
that Hulk Hogan has from another company.
Right.
He's implying if you use this ring that I got from a bigger company, you will gain powers that I would have had in this bigger company that you'll never have in this small time company that we're currently both in and trying to get over. You know, just you're essentially putting over the WWF in another company.
Company, yeah.
Like, and like TNA did that so much. And that fucking bothered me so. Then you wonder why they never got out of like the 1,000 seat,
yeah,
venues. Like, oh, right. I guess Slammiversary was at a 4,000 seat.
Yeah, and sold out.
Yeah,
their biggest draw in years.
Collision was at a 1,300.
Holy shit!
Capacity venue this past weekend.
Holy
yeah,
geez.
But it's sold out. It's sold out.
Where the patriarchy won the 6-man tag.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
But they gave them to Christian because he deserves it more. So he has three belts.
Christian has three belts. Of course he does.
Yeah.
But
okay. I'm sorry. I love Christian's storyline. It's so good.
But back to this Hulk Hogan Hall of Fame ring thing here. Yeah, so he gives Abyss his Hall of Fame WWF ring. And yeah, it gives Abyss these powers and the courage and all the, like, the Hulk. He gives him the ability to Hulk up and gives him the power of all the Hulkamaniacs, brother. And he's like, yeah. It's like that angle in the movie Space Jam where Michael Jordan fills up a water bottle and says it's Michael's secret stuff, and then all the Looney Tunes start drinking it and they can play basketball. It's a placebo thing,
yeah,
obviously,
yeah,
but like, yeah, the whole thing of just like saying it is like, oh, it's all my powers were in this Hall of Fame ring that I got long after I was ever hulking up and with the Hulkamaniacs.
Okay, so when you said ring and power, okay, me being an old timer, okay, one of Gen X's favorite cartoons,
the Wonder Twins,
definitely one of the Super Friends with the Wonder Twins is definitely one. There was an old Hercules.
Okay.
Cartoon as well.
I think I remember this cartoon.
And what Hercules would do is whenever there was trouble, he would jump down off of Olympus, which is miles in the air.
Yeah, you know, as you do.
He would he would find the bad guy who always happened to be right there.
he jumped down right to where he is.
Right to where he is. The bad guy would kick the shit out of him for a while.
And then
he would go into his belt or whatever. He would pull out his magic ring, put the ring on, and that gave him his power.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said Hulk Hogan's power ring, it's like, oh, fuck, he's comparing himself to Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Well, so many TV shows throughout the years do that. Like, it's no different than when Clark Kent takes off his glasses and he's all of a sudden Superman. Or... the Power Rangers, they're fighting these like evil monsters as themselves, and they're like, it's too much for us, it's morphin' time.
Yeah, we better do this.
Yeah, let's take out these power morphers that we had the entire time with.
That's right.
And then call out the name of our dinosaur, and then we'll have these fancy suits.
Why didn't you do that first? Why didn't you put the ring on as you were jumping down from Olympus and save yourself the shit kicking?
Yeah. You just have to give these villains a false sense of security,
right,
I guess.
That's right.
Like,
that's right. He's
completely
he's
unnecessary.
Yeah,
so that was pretty bad.
Oh, boy.
You got another one, Dustin?
David Arquette.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
We all had that one. That was like, yeah. David Arquette, WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah,
in his own words, they can never take that away from him.
But the funny thing about that is he did kind of show that he had the chops.
Oh, well, he's an actor, so.
Yeah, okay. So he could cut a promo and all that.
Yeah.
But he did do, like, real wrestling after that.
Yeah.
And when we say real, like, he
almost got his throat cut for it too.
Yeah. Like he was paying his dues. I don't know if he still does or if he's still a thing. I think
not
he's,
sure.
A few years ago, he wrestled a few matches, and then
right. Mm. So he just might be done though. But the fact that he did follow up his WCW,
he did a death match.
Bullshit. Yeah,
with and, Gage. Yeah,
and for what? Like they weren't paying him very well.
I guess because he know. Wanted to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's just my point. Like he stepped up to do this. Like he had all that sweet Courtney Cox money,
of course.
So he didn't have to worry about making a living off of this. And I mm-hmm. guess he was doing well in his own career. You know,
he yeah. decided to come back for a few months. He had a match on TNA, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, wow. he was in a couple more Scream movies.
Yeah.
But yeah. like the whole his whole title reign was based around
Ready
like,
to Rumble.
Ready to Rumble.
Which reminds me, when you have your VHS all set up, I have Ready to Rumble.
Do you now?
Yeah. I found that. It at Valley Village.
Okay. Yeah, I still have my old Ready to Rumble VHS.
So yeah, when I get my old school living room set up, well, I'll have to like pile in there with a pizza and watch Ready to Rumble on VHS.
Yeah,
so,
okay. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then when I find you Jurassic Park 1.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Because you got 2 and 3 now.
RoboCop. That's another one.
Oh, RoboCop. Okay. Yeah. I'll keep an eye out for that too.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get to deep into my redecorating plans here.
I know people like to rag on that movie. I enjoyed it.
RoboCop?
That goes without saying. RoboCop was awesome.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Ready to Rumble was universally panned. Everyone thought that was horrible and it bombed.
I liked it because it had wrestling. Like, yeah.
And I enjoyed the soundtrack as mm-hmm. well. I got the soundtrack buried in the snowy vault somewhere. I'm probably going to pull it out now that we're talking about it. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, so.
It's been a minute since I've seen that movie, but I do remember, the whole, they had the Sinclair guy who was basically supposed to be Eric Bischoff.
Basically,
right. Jimmy King, who was played by Oliver Pratt.
Who was basically Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, just the worst human.
We have to do a Ready to Rumble watch along.
Yeah, we should do that when I get my living room set up. Yeah.
When we're ready to rumble.
When we're ready to rumble, the movie.
We should definitely do that.
Yeah.
Okay, whose go is it?
It's yours.
It might be mine. Okay. Yeah. Okay, for all of this stuff Jim Cornette bitches about, okay.
Which is a lot of things.
Which is a lot of things.
Which is all of them.
And most of the time he's right, mm-hmm. okay. He's done some shit, though, that, okay, yeah, it was probably booked for him and all that, and he's being a good soldier and going along with it. But he had an angle, okay, against Dusty Rhodes, like the Cornette and the Midnight Express mm-hmm. During the Crockett era. I want to say about 87 as well. And they had an angle against against Dusty Rhodes, and Baby Doll had turned face, left Tully Blanchard, and was in Dusty's corner. And if I'm getting some details wrong here, just save your emails.
I'm just picturing Dusty Rhodes saying, "Baby doll."
Yeah.
Let's go, baby doll.
But okay. There was an angle with that where Cornette took the end of his tennis racket and schmucked Baby Doll in the midsection in her abdomen,
like with the handle of the
with the handle of the racket. Oh, you know, and they played it up, okay, saying that Baby Doll now might not be able to reproduce.
What?
Because she took a shot to the gut.
Yeah, I mean.
That's how female anatomy works.
Yeah, I know. It's just the fact that they went there.
Yeah, it's a little. You know,
now they're using a performer's reproduction
mm-hmm.
in an angle. And once again, as just a dumb teenager, I went, holy fuck, I can't believe you're actually doing this.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Oh, it definitely was. And I'm sure the WWF had hit their thing. Who's that guy? It's not my fault guy.
Snitsky.
Snitsky. And didn't he...
He did that to Lita.
Yeah. He kicked a baby...
It was like a doll. It was like a football into the crowd. Yeah.
Right.
Well, they also did one. They did something like that with Terry Reynolds. I don't think they ever.
Oh yeah, she was supposed to be pregnant, and then
D'Lo Brown accidentally knocked her off the ring apron. Yeah.
And then
she miscarried, but then the doctor revealed that she wasn't actually pregnant.
She wasn't. Yeah. Actually.
Speaking of D'Lo Brown, he wrestled in Winnipeg last night.
Oh really?
Yeah.
He was in town.
Yeah.
Oh right on.
With CWE.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. He came out of retirement.
Yeah, I didn't. I was gonna say. I was like, isn't he retired?
Yeah.
Last time I saw him, he was doing color commentary for Impact. Yeah. But
he came out of retirement and did a match last night.
Oh, good for him.
Well, up here in Winnipeg. Well, yep. That's quite the place to come out.
Former WWF Tag Team Intercontinental and European Champion.
Well, he's been on their current run they're doing.
Okay.
And he's been like a manager, but then he hopped in the ring at a recent show and attacked one other manager guy.
Okay.
And then they had a six-man last night.
I'm honestly surprised he's not working for WWE as a producer.
I know,
right?
Should.
Or a trainer or something. Yeah.
Doing something behind the scenes in AEW or
a talent scout like what Mark Henry does. Like,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
who else has something? Throw it out there. I'm down to one.
Vince Russo is world champion?
Oh, yeah, that was a thing. When Goldberg speared him through the cage and technically made him win.
Yeah.
Right.
Because Russo went out first.
Yep. Yeah, Booker T was still in the cage. Yep.
Yep.
Yep, so that's a thing that happened, and I don't know why it had to. So both Vince Russo and David Arquette have both held the most gorgeous wrestling world championship in history.
And then at one point he did an interview while world champion in a neck brace saying how much he hated Japanese and Mexican wrestlers.
Oh, yeah, because that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm.
Good, good.
Yeah, I'm trying to think here. I know that
Russo is doing a lot to kill WCW.
Oh, he well,
in the series, he said it. He said, "Bro, 231."
You have to like look at it this way. It's like some of his ideas that came to light in the WWF. Like, not all of his ideas were there because he had Vince McMahon of all people to tell him no. You know how bad your ideas have to be for Vince McMahon
to say that's too much.
And then he goes to WCW where he had no filter, and we saw it all, like what would have happened on WWF television had Vince McMahon not told
them. We had Judy Bagwell on a forklift.
We did.
Yeah, that is okay, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because we can definitely add that to the list.
Bro. Trust me, people are going to love it. I swear to God, bro.
There's no way, okay, if I was a professional wrestler, I wouldn't even want my mother to come to the shows to watch me in the audience.
Yeah.
Never mind be, you know, brought up on it. And they used a forklift because I guess she was overweight.
Well, yeah. Something. Well, you can't really put a person on a pole. Right. But
still, like the visual of that, you know, it's just
so having to get into the forklift and like lowering it. I guess I've never actually seen this match, nor do I want to. But no. I imagine to win the match, you had to get in the forklift and like lower it. So you'd have to go like.
Now, what if you just suck at forklifting?
Yeah,
you know, like she could have been killed.
Like
something.
I assume that both wrestlers were given a short tutorial on how to work.
Yeah, okay. All you got to do is just sit
press
there
this button
and move the lever down.
All you got to do, bro, is sit in that chair, bro, and move the lever down, bro.
Yeah, down.
Yeah. Up would be funny, bro, but down.
And also, I will take this as an opportunity to remind everybody that one time Judy Bagwell actually phoned the head office of WCW and complained about why her son wasn't on television. That is a thing that actually happened.
And she was also in a tag team match once.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't she WCW champion?
Tag team champions with Rick Steiner.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
WCW in 2000, everybody. Don't look directly at it.
Yeah. Unless people were.
Yep.
Let's redo it and strip everyone of their belts and give those belts back to the same people.
Yep. New blood.
Well, I think We're going to wrap this up.
Billy Kidman's feud with Hogan.
Right. That whole thing that happened.
When in the end, Hogan decided, no, I'm not putting him over.
And then they had a New Blood Rising pay-per-view, but the New Blood faction had already broken up by the time that pay-per-view happened.
In fact,
whoops!
Whoopsie!
And, like, I believe that that whole thing was because Bischoff wanted to prove to not only the younger guys, but to the audience that the veterans are where it's at.
But it's like you want, and at the same time, it's like you're trying to put the newer guys over, but you make them the heel group,
right?
And you make all the old gatekeeper dudes the baby faces, even to the point of calling them the Millionaires Club. And we're supposed to sympathize with this?
Kidman had to slow down.
Yeah,
you know, Hogan made Kidman look so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of the reasons why that angle failed, is because the younger athletes who you're trying to get over,
and Hogan didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, like they're not doing their job. And it made Kidman look brutal. Mm-hmm. And it's because of Hogan. He's too old, he's too slow, and his ego is too big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got another
one. Three characteristics that make the worst possible wrestler.
I'm remembering things now.
Yeah. Okay.
When Bischoff challenged Vince to a match.
Oh, on WCW television. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, and didn't he, like...
He came down on the motorcycle.
And
from the rafters.
Yeah, he doesn't even ride the motorcycle down. He just, like, lowers the motorcycle from the rafters while he's on top of it. Yeah.
He did the 10 count.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Count to 10. Vince obviously isn't going to show up.
No, he's doing another show in another city. Yeah. that is also on TV on a Monday night.
It wants nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
But an alternate universe where they would have let DX in the building on that tank would have been sweet.
Tank. It was a Jeep. Yeah, it was a Jeep with a cannon attached to it.
But imagine how cool that would have been.
Yeah, it would have been pretty cool, but I don't know. It would, like, no way in hell it would have happened, but
no. And they just,
so why didn't the NWO come to an episode of Monday Night Raw and do the same thing?
They probably should have.
They had to inject it with poison.
Yeah, but they had to inject.
Anything else? I got one more. I'm saving this one for last because she's a doozy.
No, I think I got all the cringe out of my system, like the cringiest things off the top of my head. Yeah.
You got something? Because
there's a whole fuck ton of WCW early 2000s.
Oh,
stuff.
I'm sure there is.
Well, the year 2000 in WCW in general was just like...
It was cringe.
Yeah.
There's a lot of brutal stuff.
Rufus.
If you got
Ralphus.
Something.
Ralphus.
Yeah, that was 1998. That was Chris Jericho.
Yeah. When Ralphus wanted to get paid a shit ton of money.
Yeah, that's what ended that angle.
Yep.
Well, if you don't have anything off the top of your head, we're going to bring the crazy train into the station here with this one. And once again, I believe it was the Continental Federation sometime, 86.
That's the year I was born.
Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden were the top heel tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Fuller would go on to become Colonel Robert Parker in WCW.
Okay.
And manage Luger.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was a manager. He had the Southern gentleman gimmick.
Gotcha.
And all that. And he really wasn't too far. And he played it so well because... the best characters are real life with the volume turned up.
Yeah.
Robert Fuller, was one of the top heels in the Continental era around that time. Brickhouse Brown, an African-American wrestler. Imagine a Ron Simmons.
Okay.
Okay, that's what Brickhouse Brown was like. And he was over huge in Continental. When Robert Fuller presented Brickhouse Brown with a watermelon.
Oh boy. Wow. I know where this is going.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Did he also present him with a cup of grape drink and a bucket of fried chicken, too? Like,
I just the watermelon was all you needed.
Is this the like, Gabriel Iglesias joke to his black friend?
More or less. Like,
now, I get, okay. And it would work, okay, because Fuller's the white heel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Brickhouse Brown is the African American face and all that. And I kind of get why they did it, but using that once again, just like the reproduction right or the reproduction and the domestic abuse and all that, should you be using like pro wrestling has always used race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Iron Sheik, Sheik on LKC, those horrible Japanese wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
you know, were coming over to destroy America and all that. But this was within America.
Yeah.
You know.
This wasn't the evil foreign heel or anything. Yeah, like, yeah. This was, yeah.
It's the evil heel within the real world.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's like. Wow, wow. And I don't even know if either of the Vinces would ever think. Well, no, McMahon has dropped the N-word. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, and right in front of Booker T.
In front of Booker T.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that kind of, never mind.
Yep, he would have, and he did.
Piper.
Oh, Piper with the blackface?
Yeah.
Which is, that's Vince.
Yep.
That's Vince, totally.
Or Ed Ferreira with the Oklahoma gimmick.
Yeah. Or Jim even Ross. DX yeah. with the black faces for Nation of Domination.
Yeah, let's... Yeah. I'm sure Triple H regrets that. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, you won't see any of that shit.
Anymore. Oh, never again. Never.
Yeah.
It was a different time.
People that... like you will never be world champion.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, but Ron Simmons already was.
Yeah.
And so. Booker T at that point was already...
He was already a five-time WCW champion.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then he went on to win the World Heavyweight title later as King Booker.
King so. Booker.
King mm-hmm. Booker.
Well, clock on the wall is telling us it's about time to bring this crazy train into the station.
Did you seriously just look around for a clock on the wall?
No.
I was like, I don't have one.
I was just about to jokingly go, there's a clock?
But, yeah.
Where?
I was going to say, I was like, oh my God.
Huh?
How can people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada or on Instagram at WrestlingNightInCanada.
Right on, right on. And of course, Wrestling Night in Canada are proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. If you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy by now, mm-hmm. you'll want to go over to the network. Check out Radioactive Metal, where myself and my co-host Aaron, we sit down and talk about everything in the wonderful world of metal. In the meantime, yeah, and in between yeah. time, thank you, Ed Whalen. That's it. Another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Signing off.
And we believe in Joe Hendry.